Okay, so welcome everybody to the inaugural kickoff meeting of the European Network for Psychological Anthropology. We're very happy to see so many familiar and not yet familiar faces, and I'm particularly happy, and I'd like to thank all of our presenters at the roundtable, because we decided not to engage in a panel since this network has just very recently been established in January 2008. So we decided for a roundtable where we bring together researchers on various different career stages from various continents working on different topics and phenomena. So it was very easy to put this roundtable together for us because it was a very, very collaborative spirit. People got back to us within only a few minutes or within a few days. We didn't have to particularly convince anyone that this is a great event, and this was for us also very important to see that there was an interest actually in contributing to this inauguration of the European Network for Psychological Anthropology. And so thank you for coming over from various parts of the world, for taking you out of your holidays and just bringing you here, resisting pilot strikes, resisting tornadoes and winds. So we all made it. So I'm very glad. Before I'm going to give a few introductory remarks, not about psychological anthropology, what it could be, but more about the network and how it could emerge and how it came into existence, I'd like to ask you whether it's okay if we video and also audio record the panelists. If anyone does not agree on that, you can get back to us either you tell me now or you get back to us after the session, and then we can kind of erase the back of your heads. So, good. We're going to kick off with a very brief introduction, and then I'm going to introduce the roundtable presenters. After that, we'll have around 7 to 10 minutes of presentations on various topics, and the question, actually, Ted Lowe has put it up here already, it's where do we go from here after having this kickoff meeting. Then we'll engage in a plenary session and also in the Q&A, of course, so in order to get into a more interactive exchange. So what can this be, the ENPA? We were wondering ourselves. It was basically when James and I met a few years ago on a different project, which was dealing about affects and emotions in ethnography and field work, that we thought about, hey, where can we relate to? Is there any society? Is there any association besides the very prominent and very influential Society for Psychological Anthropology of the AAA? After some research, we found out that there was actually none within Europe. So please correct me if I'm wrong. And then we started actually by kicking off a German working group, which is both co-founded by Anita and me and a few others in the room, I think 2 years ago. Then we had the first kickoff meeting at the German Anthropological Association meeting. And there we were very surprised that we had over 60 people in the room as a very young network. So that's when also James was there. That's when we sat and thought, look, I think this is about time to give this all of the different people and the different working groups and the different methodology and epistemologies that are somehow considering themselves very shyly, because psychology is not a particularly, has never been a particularly sexy topic within anthropology, but how we could relate. We did some research, and then we found actually that there was in Berlin in October 2017, and then we did some research, and we found that there was various working groups. You have Max Planck Institutes working on the history of emotion. You have at Berlin, you have collaborative research centers working on affective societies, headed by our senior anthropologist, Birgit Röttger-Rössler. You have collaborations with cultural psychologists, a lot in Aarhus and Aalborg. You have ethnopsychiatry. Ethnopsychoanalysis was very strong in the German-speaking and French-speaking tradition. Then you have parliamentary task forces, where James is also working, consulting parliamentary groups. You have transcultural psychiatries, where anthropologists collaborate with psychiatrists in order to carve out kind of more so-called patient-based, what that it's called, therapies. We have Max Planck Institutes working on the human origins in Nijmegen and Leipzig. So we have Tony Robbins with his working group at the University of Utrecht. And then we also have departments working on ritual, religion, and healing. We also have two or three or four master courses within Europe, and probably it's more, but this is also one reason why we want to have this network. We have a psychological anthropology at Brunel University. We have one at FU Berlin, at Roehampton. Tony teaches it in Utrecht. But there is not too many apart from that, and even less we talk to each other. That's at least our impression. We always go through the SPA or through ethos, but we rarely talk within a European level. And we thought this could actually change. Apart from that, it's now that we have a tremendous interest from graduate students and postgraduate students in the topic. So our departments, it's not an exaggeration, are flooded by applications from both within Europe, but also from the Asias and the Africas, somehow trying to collaborate with our very few departments on psychological anthropologies, but we have difficulties in accommodating them due to capacities. So the supervision is very difficult if it's just two or three or four people talking to each other. So I think this is another reason why a network that hopefully you would all contribute to in the future makes some sense. So what this platform could be probably is going to be discussed within the next hour and a half. But particularly, I think we're after facilitating dialogues within and beyond Europe, an institutionalization of collaboration and exchange, intellectual collaborations, but also engaging in public discourses on topics like mental illnesses, mental health, suffering, and so forth, and also in teaching, so probably also exchanging curricula, because we are rather limited, I think, in exchanging our syllabi, in kind of talking to each other and trying to learn from each other. So my feeling is now that I was appointed so-called junior professor 2 years ago, and it feels like constantly reinventing the wheel when you carve out a syllabus, and then a few years later, you look east and west and north and south, and then you see, Jesus, it's all there and it's so much better. So why didn't we just talk to each other? Good. So this roundtable is going to talk about, actually, so where do we go from here? And also, what can we do next? Let me briefly introduce you our very impressive panel, actually. I'm still struck that this actually kicks off and that there was such a great interest in also coming to Stockholm. I've never been here before. Most of us have never been here either. So thanks also to EASA, if anyone is here. So the first speaker today is Edward Ted Lowe, who is the editor-in-chief of the flagship of, Global Psychological Anthropology, the Journal of Ethos. He's a professor at Soka University and specializes on how families and individuals cope with economic insecurity during times of rapid social, cultural, and economic change. And there's also, I have realized in our recent collaborations, that there is also a great interest in methodologies and attending to both psychologies and anthropologies. I keep this very brief because all of them who are here are so productive that this would take 1.5 hours at least to introduce all of your achievements. We have Tony Robbins, who is professor at professor of anthropology at the University of Utrecht, and he's the recipient of several Science Foundation grants, presidencies, fellowships. He has worked in Brazil and Argentina on political violence and sociocultural trauma, wartime destruction and post-war reconstruction of the port city of Rotterdam in the Netherlands very recently. And I came across Tony Robbins at a conference in Berlin in 2011 or 12, I think, where we talked a lot about trauma. And this was one of the few anthropologists that shared actually also a great interest in junior research within psychological anthropologies. And then, of course, we're working with his handbook on, on ethnography and fieldwork. Then I'm very glad to, where is page number 3. I'm very glad to introduce my colleague from Freie University Berlin, Anita von Poza, who is heading a research project on transcultural psychiatries. She's a project leader at the Affective Societies. She's a reader at the Department of Anthropology at UFU Berlin. And we have co-founded this working group together with Leberecht Funk, who is in the room, and Gabriel Scheidecker, who is also somewhere here in the room, on psychological anthropology within the GAA, the German Anthropological Association. And you've worked in Papua New Guinea a lot, in Vietnam, and recently also in Vietnamese Berlin, I think. Then we have Vicky Sakti here, early career researcher who holds, interestingly, an MA in the theory and practice of human rights from the University of Essex. She holds a BA also in psychology from Atmajaya University in Indonesia, and recently she has completed her PhD thesis on a multi-sided ethnographic studies and how communities in East Timor cope with prolonged collective violence, and she focuses on the memories and emotions related to that. Recently, she has joined Mega Amritz, who is also here, research group at the Max Planck Institute of Ethnic and Religious Diversity on Aging in a Time of Mobility. And we're glad to have you, Vicky, also to give a bit of a voice that is sometimes not that much heard, because you've also worked a lot within different NGOs and community-based organizations for many, many years. And then we have my fellow colleague, James Davies, who is a reader, lecturer in anthropology and mental health at the University of Roehampton. He's the co-founder of the Council for Evidence-Based Psychiatry at the UK Parliament recently, a very powerful voice actually within influencing discourses on mental health and suffering discourses within the politics and also the media. Some of you, I think most of you probably might know his awarded book, Cracked, Why Psychiatry is Doing More Harm Than Good, The Importance of Suffering, and where we met actually was also discussing methodologies in the context of emotions in the field. And then it's a great honor, and we're going to put you at the end of the panel, because your suggestions are very hands-on. It's Professor Jill Corbin, your Lucy Adams Leffingwell Professor at Case Western Reserve University, the director of the Schubert Center for Child Studies, co-director of the Childhood Studies Program, and also the president of the Society for Psychological Anthropology at the AAA. Among many awards, you've been awarded the Margaret Mead Award also, Jill, and you're part of the National Research Council's panel on research on child abuse and neglect, the Institute of Medicine's panel on pathophysiology and the prevention of adolescent and adult suicide. You have worked a lot on child-related issues and highly influenced also childhood and the anthropology of childhood within very applied contexts. So, very briefly, my name is Thomas Duduka. I'm a junior professor at the Free University of Berlin, working on coming of age on the streets of Java, having worked in many interdisciplinary research projects and co-directing them on affects and emotions in relation to culture and society, on critical perspectives on big data and datafication, and recently also very much on the role of affects and emotions in the context of fieldwork and ethnography. There is one panelist that unfortunately couldn't make it today because he's in Burma. It's Rob Lemelson, who most of you might also know. And before I hand over to the panelists, let me just very briefly, we had such lovely colleagues also and encouragements. So the former president of the SPA, Byron Good, got back to us wishing us good luck and all the best and hoping for a further exchange. There was Bob Levine actually getting back to us in a very endearing and nice email and wishing us the best of luck and setting up a meeting soon in Berlin when he's going to be over. And also Robert Lemelson has actually advocated. He has sent a script. I'm not going to read the whole script because I would talk too long, but I'd like to briefly summarize the main points that he's actually putting. So let me quote, that's the opening of the letter. Thank you for giving this opportunity to express the inaugural meeting of the European Network for Psychological Anthropology. I'm sorry I wasn't able to attend this meeting as I'm currently in Burma. And then Robert Lemazin, who is the founder of the Psychocultural Research Group, Foundation for Psychocultural Research, the FPR, in 1999. He's also involved in cultural neuroscience, critical neuroscience, and very much he also is actually heading and directing, is the main producer of a visual anthropology platform, actually, who is engaged a lot in also providing teaching material for psychological anthropologies. So what he was actually in the two-page, in his two-page memo, he was very much advocating for interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary openness. He's deeply involved also within neuroscience, and he also addresses that in his letter. He worked a lot on psychiatric anthropologies, and particularly he's interested, and he was actually proposing that we could engage into a visual psychological anthropology, giving a nod also towards the visual revolution that has been going on both within and without and outside of classrooms. So I think I'm at the end, I hope, of my hopefully very brief introduction. I'd like to hand over to our speakers and then engage in a Q&A, and then we will very briefly also wrap this up at the end of the session.